You're listening to Packers Talk Network. Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
I'm supposed to be the stickler of the group. That's not John's job. His job is to throw caution to the wind, and mine is to rein him in.
Listen, man, I don't know. And you're not around. You know, someone takes the reins and plays the moral center, and it's John. Listen, man, I'm as surprised as anybody.
All right.
Take New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I'm going to go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian. It's going to be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian. Tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about
Did Jordan you just promise tonight? That we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
What is up, Packer fans? This is the voice of Brian Fonfara here. Unfortunately, not John Jameson, but you get to listen to me again, making my glorious comeback along with Dusty Evely here. Dusty, talk about my glorious comeback.
It's sad to me how that we've lowered the bar for glorious. Like, it's cool. I want something higher, like where glorious used to be, because we're like, I guess glorious is now like kind of meh. So we just need. I just want something higher, is all. But, yeah, I don't know. Happy to have you back, Brian.
What would you put on par with my comeback? Is it like getting a speeding ticket, or is it like you found a coupon for your favorite soda, or like what does this on par with?
You know, the speeding ticket's a good one. I actually am going to go one above that, because one time, this is a warning to everybody, I was driving through Virginia. I was on the interstate, 70. I'm going 81. I'm going 11 miles over. Mm-hmm. Turns out if you're going more than 10 miles an hour over the speed limit in the state of Virginia, it's reckless driving. It's a misdemeanor. So I actually had to pay court costs to get it knocked off my record. So it was just a speeding ticket. So that speeding ticket cost me like $1,500. So it's kind of like that. It's like that kind of speeding ticket, Brian.
Okay. You know what? I'm all right with that.
Okay.
Me coming back is like a misdemeanor. I'm into that.
Don't spin it. Don't spin this positively.
Oh, that's not bad. That's really not bad. All right. So, yes, it is just us two today. Unfortunately, there's no John or Jordan today. Jordan's just out due to laziness, I think. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was talking about at some point he was like trying to get caught up on Game of Thrones, which is funny because it's been off for a while. So he might just be doing that. Yeah. He just might be watching Game of Thrones.
I think I heard him mutter like under his breath, kind of like, oh, I don't care about Packer fans or Pack to the Future or anything, and I don't want to have a good attitude about stuff. So yeah,
you sounded just like him.
Yeah, I thought that was
it. You sounded just
I
like
thought
him.
That was really good. Is my comeback glorious yet?
No, absolutely not.
I'm not upgraded to a felony.
You need to stop asking that, Brian. You really need to stop asking that.
All right, man. We have a lot to unpack. I'm going to start with my favorite bit of news, and that is that Pack to the Future, the podcast and the website, has a new sponsor, Sioux City Jerky. Really good jerky. Well, I guess it's going to be really good jerky. My first order is in the mail right now, so I'm really pumped to try this stuff. It's got a lot of really good stuff. Asian bacon, down home, southwestern. Like, he's got spicy stuff on there. He's got sweet stuff on there. I cannot wait to try it. Looks like a really good company. They're very proud of the fact that they are made in the USA, in Sioux City, as you might have surmised by the name of the company. I actually just learned that a portion of every sale is donated to the Children's Miracle Network. So, yeah, a little bit of that money goes to a really good cause. So make sure you check them out. There will be a link in the description down below. So make sure you visit them, order some jerky. It's inexpensive, man. Like, when this company was brought to me, like, oh, it's beef jerky, I'm like, oh, man, it's going to be crazy expensive. It's not. So reasonable prices. You can get in on the ground floor here. Go check them out, Sioux City Jerky NFL.com. Dusty, have you ordered yours yet?
I haven't. I need to get on it. Especially after my mouth is watering over here. So yeah, I need to get on it. As soon as this episode's over, I'm ordering some. One of everything.
Oh my goodness. Well, they've got like 20, so.
One of everything.
Beautiful.
I said what I said, Brian.
So yeah, check them out. SiouxCityJerky.com. Dusty, the other news that we have to cover before we move on to anything else. There has been a trade in the NFL.
What?
And in Green Bay, the guys at 1265 Lombardi, they made a trade.
This is weird. I don't like this. I don't like this not Ted Thompson guy just doing stuff that Ted Thompson wouldn't do. I don't particularly care for it.
Dusty, I'm going to blow your mind a little bit further. This is not the first trade that the Packers have made this offseason.
Lies. See, now I know it's not a glorious return because you're just lying. I'm
just making stuff up now. The other trade isn't looking particularly good for either team at this point. Is it fair to say that the DeShone Kizer, Demaryius Randall trade, like, doesn't seem like anybody is like embracing the new location and like taking it as lighting a fire. Like neither of the guys have looked particularly impressive.
I think it's too early to say. I am a fan of Kizer. I like how he's looked. His accuracy is a little over the place, and his decision making at third preseason game was not great. But I like what I've seen out of him. Like, okay. I don't know, Randall wasn't going to be around after this year anyway, right. So we got a high ceiling prospect. Like I know a lot of people are not happy with him. I'm fine with that trade for us, especially in light of the draft.
We weren't going to get anything more for Randall. We definitely replaced him in the draft. I am a fan of DeShone Kizer as well, so no, I'm not here to stomp on this trade and say it was a waste or anything like that. I'm still happy with it, but. Still waiting for either of the player to make their mark is all. And it could happen. At the same time, I'm hoping that DeShone Kizer kind of never really makes his mark because, as I said when that trade happened, like if he's our starter at any point, we're probably in trouble because it means that Aaron Rodgers got injured or he retired earlier than we expected or something like that. Really what I want to see is a really good backup out of him, and maybe we can trade him for something more down the line. That's sure. Really what I want to see. But that's not the trade we're here to talk about. We're talking about one that happened just yesterday. It's Lindsey Pipkins being traded to the Indianapolis Colts for linebacker Antonio Morrison. And Dusty, I'm going to let you start here because you know a little bit more about Antonio Morrison than I do. So say why and talk about him.
Yeah, so I lived in Clearwater, Florida for about 8 years when I was a kid, when I started paying attention to college sports. And so I kind of picked up the Gators as my college football team. And after moving up to Kentucky, and it's now kind of a split thing because I graduated from Kentucky, so I'm kind of split. But I've always been a Florida fan, so that's kind of my first college football team. And Morrison played there. He's got a kind of a spotted history. And by spotted, I mean he once barked at a police dog. Because he said the dog barked at him first.
Who hasn't?
It's a dog. I haven't yet, and I feel like I'm not quite living the way I should be living. But I liked him in Florida. I kind of liked him coming out of Florida. I think he's not going to be the initial thought, and this ended up getting squashed, was that like this happened the day after or 2 days after the Oren Burks injury before the third preseason game, that it was a replacement. He's in no way a replacement for Burks. His athleticism, he cannot do what Burks does. Burks is smaller, better in coverage, kind of has to work between. Morrison's kind of a thumper. I kind of put like a Bishop. Someone else said kind of Brandon Spikes, but kind of like your two down thumper. Like you can play like good in the run game. Not really good in space, can't really cover. But as far as a run stopper, like you could do a lot worse. So, I mean, that you hate losing Pipkins, and I think you're going to talk a little bit more about that, Brian. But I think I don't hate Morrison. And my understanding is we're on the hook for $0 if we cut him.
Okay.
So that's good as well. So it's kind of like a trial, see how he does. Maybe he makes the cuts, maybe he doesn't. But it's especially with the linebacker position kind of looking like it as it is, I don't hate the move.
Sure. Well, yeah, so I had two initial thoughts when it came. It was, one, Lindsey Pipkins is gone, and that makes me sad. Partially a lot to do with the fact that I actually got to talk to him and he was on this podcast, and he was a very well-spoken player. He was very confident coming in as a rookie on a team that just the year before had spent their first and second overall picks on cornerbacks, and just the odds were against him making the team, but he never said a word about being nervous about that. He was just embracing the competition, and he's definitely got the right mentality to make it in the NFL, and I think he's got the talent as well. So that was my first thought. I was sad to see him go. My second thought was, okay, wait, this is just a day after that Burks injury. Is it more serious than they had hoped? But then, you know, that kind of got squashed. They said it's really not going to be a big issue. So I don't know if he'll be there for week one, but, you know, it's not a long-term thing. So that's good. You know, then I started looking into Antonio Morrison, and the first thing that jumps out is he's a tackle machine. He had over 100 last year, and that's kind of what we're missing with Jake Ryan, is just kind of like the big, you know, run stuffer in the middle. And that's what Jake Ryan was good at, is he was able to find the ball, especially in the run game. So I look at this as a replacement for Jake Ryan, who's out for the season. Not somebody to come in and start over Morrison. If they plan on putting somebody like Clay Matthews inside for certain sub packages, this isn't going to stop that. If they plan on using Josh Jones and sub packages up front, it's not going to get in the way of that either. So, I think this is nothing but a good deal for both sides. And especially since Morrison came out today or yesterday, whatever it was, and talked about how excited he was to be back in a 3-4 defense. And that's kind of his specialty. That's where he plays well. I think this is going to be a good fit. And if he can notch 100 tackles again this year, that'd be incredible. I'd be more than happy with that.
Yeah, you mentioned, I just want to say one more thing about Pipkins. You mentioned his confidence. That showed up on the field.
It did.
Like, he has a confidence, he has a passion, he has a swagger. Like, he hits. He'll get burned every now and then, but, like, he can move, he can hit. Like, he has that passion, he's got that confidence. Especially, you know, last year with kind of Randall and Rollins and some kind of lackadaisical type stuff. Like, Pipkins got out there and just lit a fire,
for sure.
Man. Every time he's on the field, lit a fire. So, I'm going to miss that. For sure, I'm going to miss that.
Absolutely. And, yeah, like you said, it was immediate. Like, I mean, I was looking at him as soon as we signed him because somebody said, watch out for this kid. And I go, that's great, but we signed House, we drafted King, Randall, Rollins are all young. Like, it's kind of their secondary, isn't it? And he found a way to get some playing time. So
yeah, and looked good when he was out there. Like, looked pretty good when he was out there.
Yep. Agreed. Cool. Well, what we're here to do today is our NFC North preview. We've done the rest of the NFC. We've done the AFC. You're actually the only person that's been on all three of these podcasts now, Dusty, so you get some kind of imaginary award.
I accept that award. Right. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank my mama and Elvis.
There it is. Wonderful. Okay, awards given out. Now let's talk about what's going to happen here. We're going to do a quick review of what each team in this division has done, talk about that, and then we'll give our predictions for who will win it, who will lose it, who's going to fall somewhere in between, maybe even just who's going to make the playoffs out of it. So let's start with the Minnesota Vikings. They had probably the most interesting offseason, or close to it at least. Kirk Cousins, obviously their big addition. 3 years, $90 million, all guaranteed. I think that's a crazy amount for Kirk Cousins, but we'll get into that a little bit. They also added Trevor Siemian as a backup, wide receiver Kendall Wright. An addition that's gone under the radar a little bit, but should be talked about a bit more, is Sheldon Richardson, the defensive tackle. He adds a big piece to that defensive line. Couple pieces, their early draft picks. Round one was cornerback Mike Hughes, who has a bit of a checkered past, but he's a very talented young cornerback. They drafted an offensive tackle, Brian O'Neill, in the second round. Losses. They lost their three-headed monster at quarterback that they had last year that they pieced together to have a good season. Keenum, Bridgewater, and Bradford all gone. They lost Jerick McKinnon, Michael Floyd at receiver, Joe Berger on the interior of their line. Marcus Sherrills was always a piece to that secondary. They lost him. So I wouldn't call it a massive offseason, but very interesting. Dusty, I'm assuming you're going to start with Kirk Cousins, who I know you don't like, but give me your overall thoughts on this offseason for the Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, before I get to Cousins, I mean, I'll just bring up the quarterback situation in general. Man, I didn't necessarily love any of the guys they had. I mean, you know, Bradford's always injured.
Yeah.
You know, Keenum looked good. You know, that's his career year. Also, I mean, that's pretty easy to say his career year. But, man, like, three quarterbacks who are competent, and then all of them gone in one offseason? Like, that's insane to me.
It's going to be tough to replace, yeah.
Yeah, I'll get to Cousins in a second, but I mean, just you want that continuity a little bit. You want at least one guy that's kind of been there, you would think. Like, to have all three of those guys who played a part in last season just gone, that's nuts, man. I'm sure it's happened before. I can't recall it. I'm having a hard time remembering something like that. Like, that's tough to recover from. Like, that'll be... on paper, Cousins makes them better, theoretically. But this is where I get to, I don't know that he does. He put up numbers last year. I mean, you know, the past 2 years he did. Last year he passed for around 4,000 yards. The other, like 2016, he went for around 5,000 yards, which is just insane. Like, so on paper, you're like, well, they're a quarterback away. They've got this defense. They had offensive pieces. You know, Thielen... has been one of the better slot receivers in the league since he came in, especially over the past couple of years. Like, they've got guys on that offense that can do stuff. Diggs is insane. Diggs is so, I hate having to face that guy twice a year.
Agreed.
And so having a quarterback that puts up the numbers Cousins has, like, that should be better. He's not really. Like, he'll make some good plays, and he still kind of falls back into bad habits with his footwork, and he makes dumb decisions. Mm-hmm. Dumb decisions. I'm looking last year, even with the numbers he put up, where he was like, you know, well, anyone would be lucky to have this guy. Football Outsiders had him as the 17th quarterback, so like average, slightly below average quarterback. Mm-hmm. Keenum, now granted, career year
for, yes, Keenum, by far,
he was by Football Outsiders, by their DVOA, the number one ranked quarterback last year. So Keenum, now this is the thing. You weren't going to get that out of Keenum again.
No.
But you're never going to get that out of Cousins. Like, Cousins will give you, like, you're going to get the production he gave you. Like, you know what he's going to give you. It's going to be probably around 4,000 yards. It's going to be, you know, 30-ish touchdowns, maybe, I guess. Has he ever hit 30? He's never hit 30 touchdowns. High 20s, maybe he hits 30 this year. Probably not. And then he's going to throw – he threw 13 interceptions last year. I don't know the numbers in front of me. I feel like he threw like another 9 that were interceptable that just were not come down with. Like, that's the thing with Cousins. Like, he'll put up numbers. He's going to make really, really dumb decisions at really dumb times. Well, they were in the hunt for the playoffs last year, and he just melted down. He had like three picks in the last game against a team that didn't care or whatever the devil it was. Like, that's Cousins. Like, he's going to give you some good games. He's going to give you some good plays. He's going to give you some real dumb ones.
Right.
So, like, I think from that position, I think they're in about the same boat they were. I'm about as high in the Vikings this year as I was last year. I'll say they've got pieces. That defense is good. They've got pieces on the offensive side. I think they had a fine offseason. Again, you said it's a weird one. Cook's going to come back. Like, Cook is healthy and Murray is there. Like, those top two running backs, those are good. They don't need to throw Cousins' arm off. But I'm fairly ambivalent. Like, I think they're going to be good. I don't think Cousins makes them any better than they were last year. I think it might make them a little worse.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'll agree with the one thing you said. Case Keenum, you're not going to get that production out of him again. By far a career year. I think the Broncos are going to be disappointed with what they get out of him this year. I think that was just the perfect situation and a perfect short-term plan. Kind of like with Nick Foles in Philadelphia. If he's your starter all year, they might not even make the playoffs, let alone win a Super Bowl, but they had a perfect short-term plan, and it worked. It wasn't going to work again, and it's not going to work, I don't think, in Denver. What I will say is Kirk Cousins, he's not going to have that production. He'll be better over the course of 3 years than Case Keenum would have been, but I don't see how he puts them to – Super Bowl contenders.
No.
Because he just doesn't. I don't see it. Yeah. What really gets me is that it was completely guaranteed.
That's insane.
That's what really gets me. That's a lot of money, and it's complete. Like, he's being paid more than Aaron Rodgers, and it's completely guaranteed. For Kirk Cousins, Dusty.
Well, that's the. I mean, that's fine that he's making more than Rodgers. Like, Flacco's still making more than Aaron Rodgers.
No, and
like,
I know, but
for the time being, but it, I mean, one of the craziest things to me about Cousins, he's 30 years old. Like, this isn't. He's not a young guy. He's not a guy that's like, he's 25 and he's been putting up stats, and you're like, oh, like, this is, you know, he's gonna get better. He's gonna we've already seen the best of Kirk Cousins.
Right.
Like, this is. Like, he's going to give you what he's done the past couple of years, which is fine, for another couple of years, and then he's not going to be that good anymore.
Right.
And if the best that you have is a, like, mediocre quarterback, I mean, $90 million guaranteed, that's insane.
That's a lot of money. That is a crazy
Which, money. I mean, you know, I kind of don't – I don't hate it for him. I mean, it seems like they'd bring back one of their guys, but, like – You mentioned the Broncos. The Broncos had that bonkers defense, and then they didn't have a quarterback situation, and they were terrible. Like, you want if you get an average quarterback in there, if Kirk Cousins is average, if that's the best he is, if he's an average quarterback, but you've got that defense and those skill positions, that's good enough for playoffs. And then you never know what's going to happen in the playoffs.
Sure.
It's not like you're not starting Trevor Siemian. You might, I guess, at some point this year, but you're not leaning on Siemian and Paxton Lynch. You're just You've got like an average quarterback for 3 years. You figure that's your window. If I'm a Vikings fan, I hate that deal. But like, I kind of get it. Like, I kind of understand. I just think there's better, cheaper options out there.
I get it in that sense, but it really to me opens a 1 year window because of how much he's being paid. They have a lot of very good defensive players on very cheap rookie contracts right now, and they're going to have to make some really difficult choices starting after this season. So. Like, they have all of that talent on the defensive end now, but they can't keep it and pay Kirk Cousins $30 million. Like, the whole get an average quarterback and a really good defense and offense around that quarterback, it works when your quarterback is cheaper than that. Like,
yeah,
that's when it works because you're able to spend that money in other places. They're not able to spend that money in other places.
It's what the Rams are doing with Goff, right?
Exactly. Now. And it's like, you know, the Eagles weren't spending a ton of money on quarterback last year. They had a lot of money invested into the defense and to the skill positions, and it worked. And we've seen it happen time and time again. That's how the Seahawks won their Super Bowl. Then they had to pay Wilson and make some difficult decisions, and things went down from there. Same thing happened with the Packers, by the way. They were paying Aaron Rodgers $12 million a year instead of 20 plus, and they were able to invest in the defense instead. That's how you win. It's not by paying the average quarterback as if he is the best quarterback in the NFL. That I don't see how it works. So they still have those defensive players for cheap right now, but looking forward, like, they pretty much have to win it this year or else that window shuts again.
Let me ask you a question. I know we've stuck on this for too long, so just a quick question. Sure. Given that deal, 3 years, fully guaranteed, and Cousins will be 33 at the end of it, do you draft a quarterback next year for the Vikings? Because right now there is backup Siemian. Siemian's not your long-term answer. So do you start looking, hey, if this doesn't work out, that gives us like 2 years from to sit under? Like a second or third rounder, not a first rounder.
Yeah,
like a second or third round guy.
I would say day two. I'm very much the Ron Wolf style believer that you draft a quarterback every year or pretty close to it, just in case one of them breaks through.
Yep.
But like, unless Cousins just turns a corner and shows that, boom, he just needed a new location and he can break through. Unless he does that, then yes, I'm spending a day two pick on a quarterback as long as there's one there.
Yeah.
That's the thing though, is it's actually pretty unlikely that there will be one there, because anybody within the first 20 picks of the draft at this point that has a need at quarterback, at this point, they're trading up to take the best ones, whether they're good or not. So, like, all of those second and third round quarterbacks, if they were drafted 5 years ago, are now early first rounders. So it's getting really hard to find one in that second or third round. So I don't know. I know that's an answer that covered both sides way too well, but I don't know.
Well done.
I didn't even mean for it to be that way, but yeah, unless Kirk Cousins really does break through this year, I would at least be looking seriously at a day two quarterback. Yes.
All right, fair enough.
All right, Dusty, break down real quick what happened with the Lions this offseason. We'll talk about that.
I mean, the big thing is, you know, Caldwell's gone, Matt Patricia's in,
yep.
Which, you know, he had been the architect of that Patriots defense. Great big bushy beard, big pencil behind his ear.
Yep.
He's going to be like Romeo Crennel, and I'm already excited about it. Those guys don't do well. He's a really smart guy, so I don't know. But anytime you get a head coaching change, that's fairly big. So, Patricia in, Caldwell out. Probably see a little more animation on that side, mm-hmm. since it's not like Jim Caldwell was basically Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's. So
yes.
It's going to be a little more animated than that, I assume.
I would think so.
Also gone, Eric Ebron, mm-hmm. who didn't have hands, but like was fast, and so that kind of stretched you a little. Tahir Whitehead, who I always kind of liked, and Haloti Ngata. Those are kind of the big guys that are gone. Mm-hmm. Not a ton. You know, Ngata was getting older anyway, but you know, not a whole lot. The guys that they kind of brought in, Levine Toilolo at tight end, who is a Bill Brasky like 7'5". I saw him play right tackle once when he was with the Falcons. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't. Just because they were in a pinch, he should not play right tackle. but he's really tall, but he can't catch very well.
Okay.
They also brought in Sylvester Williams to kind of plug in that Ngata spot. Luke Wilson is a tight end, so Ebron gone, but Toilolo and Wilson are in. Devon Kennard, who I always liked, a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And the big one that everyone will talk about that will do nothing in Detroit, I don't think, is LeGarrette Blount.
okay.
They did sign Ziggy Ansah. They finally signed him to an extension, which is terrifying. I was really hoping that they would do dumb things and he would leave the division, so I hate that he's in.
It would have been
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm looking at their draft. I remember at the time kind of liking their draft. I'm looking at it now. It seems fine. Like, it's all guys that they could use, I suppose. Kerryon Johnson out of Louisville or out of Auburn and Deshaun Hand out of Alabama. Like, they got some guys that I think they will do some good things, but none of them are striking fear into my heart.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Get your take first, Brian. How are you feeling about the Lions?
Kind of sounds like a Ted Thompson draft. Nobody of high impact, but, you know, players at positions that we need, and we'll see how they work out.
Sure.
Overall, the Lions, I'm going to agree with your assessment on Matt Patricia. I am anti, at this point, hiring a head coach that worked under Bill Belichick. That dude has proven time and time again that he is the brains behind absolutely everything that happens in that organization. And without him, they have zero Super Bowls over the last 20 years instead of five. It's just been proven too many times. And then the most recent drama of this offseason with, I'm blanking on the name, their offensive coordinator.
Jim Bob Cooter.
No, the Patriots.
Oh, Patriots.
Josh McDaniels.
Oh yeah, McDaniels.
McDaniels, yeah. When he took the job and let them announce it and then said, no, never mind. Like, just bad things happen when you try to hire a Patriots assistant as a head coach. So I think there will be a bit of short-term success as they have a better defensive scheme, and that'll kind of open things up. But long-term, I just don't see how this works out. And again, player acquisitions that just don't strike fear into my heart. You know, players at positions that they needed, but nobody that really strikes me. And yeah, like, they're the best move they made by far was keeping Ziggy Ansah, and that's great. He's a fantastic edge rusher. I'm afraid of him, especially with how our offensive line has looked this preseason, but man, just nothing that really, they didn't make a single move that I was like, man, I hate that. And
yeah, that's exactly how I felt. Yeah.
So I'm not overly afraid of the Lions this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at other parts of the roster. I mean, as long as you've got, you know, Stafford, Theo Riddick's tremendous, mm-hmm. and you've got Golden Tate and Marvin Jones still, and Galladay, I kind of think Galladay is going to take a step up this year. Mm-hmm. Like, Those are good weapons. Galladay can burn you deep. Tate, Jones can run. I don't traditionally see him as a deep threat, but he can get behind you. Tate is kind of more your shorter guy, and Riddick is your kind of hybrid, almost running back wide receiver. Like, they can hit you short, which is kind of what Cooter likes to do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I hope I don't eat these words. Like, very little about this team scares me.
Yeah.
Like, at all. Like, they seem like a perfectly solid team.
Yeah.
They seem like they will be fine. You know, middle of the road. Maybe they luck into a 9-win season or something. You know, things break their way. 9-10 wins, like, absolute tops. Nothing about this team, like, this just screams kind of middle of the road. There's nothing scary. They seem perfectly solid. No one aside from, like, Ziggy Ansah and Theo Riddick. And, you know, they'll put up some numbers. I don't know what it is, because look at that roster. It's not a bad roster. There's just nothing about it where I'm like, oh, I really hate to face that guy twice a year.
Right. So. Like, they look exactly good. They look like that same Lions team that we've seen for the last 4 or 5 years now that will go out and beat the Eagles 1 week and then lose to the Browns the next week. Like, that's how this team strikes me. And that's what their frustration over the past few years has been. And, like, honestly, I'm at the point where I really feel bad for Lions fans for having to put up with that and put up with that for so long. But I see it kind of being the same way.
Granted, SEC guy, I've been watching Stafford back in his Georgia days. I've seen those Georgia teams were the same way.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say it's all Stafford's fault, but I think that's just kind of the teams that he leads. You ask him to throw that much, you're going to have those days where you beat a really good team. You're going to have those days where you lose to a bad team. Like, he's gotten better. He's just kind of inconsistent. And he has down days. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think as long as you base an offense around Stafford, that's, unless the rest of your team is stellar, that's what your team is.
Yeah. Well, it looks like they've tried to build this team the same way the Saints built around Drew Brees, but Drew Brees is on a different level and was able to handle all of that passing. And, you know, instead of having down days, he's just like, nah, I'm just going to throw for 450 yards every week. I don't care. Give me the ball. Like, Stafford's just not the same.
Again, I went through him, like, the weapons are fine. Like, I really like Theo Riddick. I think Theo Riddick is just a terror out of the backfield. And Tate is really good in short, kind of short areas. Like, him in open space is terrifying. So you run some of that short stuff Cooter likes to run. Like, they don't have bad weapons. They don't have a bad roster. It's just,
right.
I think Stafford is just never going to scare me. I really think that's just what it comes down to. Like, he's just never going to scare me.
Yep. All right. Let's talk Bears for a little bit. Another team that had an interesting offseason. Another team that replaced their head coach. Matt Nagy is in. John Fox is out. I think that's a pretty interesting hire. I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit. Their biggest losses, Marcus Wheaton at wide receiver, familiar name, Josh Sitton at guard, a couple edge rushers in Pernell McPhee and Willie Young are gone. Linebacker Darrell Freeman is gone. So they overhauled a little bit. They did add one addition I like is a backup quarterback, Chase Daniel. I think he's a good backup. And then they're big name additions, wide receiver Allen Robinson and tight end Trey Burton. So they made moves. And then you look at their draft, two names that really stand out to me, names that I wanted to see in green and gold, but unfortunately we won't. Linebacker Roquan Smith, who was a camp holdout, but he is in now. And wide receiver Anthony Miller, making some plays in preseason and looking really good. Was sad to see both of them not in green and gold, but yeah, give me your thoughts, Dusty. Bears offseason.
I think they had a good offseason. I like the Nagy hire. They got Burton, who, yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, like that's the, I think you mentioned him.
Yep.
You mentioned him, yep. Didn't you? Yeah. That's one guy. I mean, we were talking about, all right, what tight end do you want to see? We've talked about it on this show. Like, Burton was kind of the guy we were all like, man, Burton in Green Bay. Burning Green Bay would be good, and you watch him light it up in practice and preseason so far. I guess just practice kind of where I've seen him. Like, I think he's going to be good. I don't love Trubisky, but you get some of those weapons around him with Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel. Like, and like you mentioned, Anthony Miller and maybe 5 minutes of Kevin White. Like, to go along with Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, like, that's an offense I don't think is I think they're going to be hamstrung because I just don't think Trubisky, if he's going to be there, I don't think he's there yet. But they, like, this is unlike the Lions, which I feel like I should like the Lions more. This is a team you squint and you go, if everything goes right for this team, like if Trubisky takes a major step up this year and some of these guys produce like you're going to produce, like they might be able to make a run at the division. Like I don't think they will, but I could see them doing it more than I could see the Lions doing it. And maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just my anti-Stafford, but it is one of those things. Yeah, I could squint and see this. At the very least, this team's not going to be fun to play.
Agreed. I could squint and see them maybe making a wild card. I don't see how they would, even if everything goes right, finish ahead of the Packers and the Vikings. I just don't see that as a possibility. Finishing ahead of
not
one
finish,
of them.
Not maybe. Finish ahead, threaten for it. Like be, that's fair. Be in the running with like 3 weeks
okay.
left or something.
Fair
like
enough.
Something like that.
I could see them kind of overachieving a little bit and making a playoff run. I'd probably say like the sixth spot, that last wild card. But now I don't think they will, but they do have a lot of talent around. It's just, again, relying on Mitch Trubisky to take that big step forward that they need him to. That's the part really I hold back on, though. I don't think he will.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I think that does it for me is I like Nagy a lot. Like, I think he's going to come in.
Sure.
I think he's got some good ideas. I think he's going to be able to get more out of that offense than someone else may be able to, especially in his first year. Like, I think he could come in and really do something. Like, that's the unknown. I think with the pieces there, they could do something interesting. And I think he may be the guy to do it. Maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's the intriguing piece to me is they've got these pieces and they have this head coach that has a decent recent history.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious what they do with that. But like you, it all hinges on Trubisky, and I don't know if he's ever going to be the guy that the Bears traded up for, and mm-hmm. I definitely don't think he's that guy this year. But if he is, if he turns into a fraction of that, sure. then maybe, yeah, this could be trouble.
Yeah, what really gets me about Matt Nagy, what I worry about is, like, he's a very, you know, Mike McCarthy, Andy Reid kind of guy, which can be really good. It can lead to some explosive offensive games. It can lead to an entire season where your offense is awesome. But that whole coaching tree has similar flaws. And one of those flaws is establishing something that's working and then going away from that. And you saw it even with the Chiefs last year. Like, they were running the ball down people's throats. And then at the first sign of trouble, at the first sign that somebody was going to be able to stop that, they just stopped running. And, like, they had a collapse.
I think that changes a bit this year just because of Trubisky. Because Trubisky is so young, and you've got these two running backs. Like, I don't think they're going to ask him to do much this year. Like, I almost think coming in, that's like, and who knows, like, that might be by the first half of the first game, you could be like, screw it, throw 40 times a game. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you just never know. Tariq Cohen gets stopped for like a 2 yard gain. Like, okay, Trubisky, now you throw 25 times straight. Like, you don't know.
Yeah.
But it seems to me a young quarterback, like, you kind of look at him and go, his young quarterback that kind of wasn't there when he was drafted. You feel like he'd probably need a couple years. You've got these running backs. I feel like this more than what they had in KC. Not that it makes it excusable what he did in KC, but I think it kind of would force him to lean on the running game a little bit more here.
Maybe that's
my optimism for him, I guess.
And I'm not sure how fair or unfair that is. I don't know what Matt Nagy did versus what Andy Reid did last year in Kansas City, but they had a quarterback producing at a high level, at an MVP level for the first half of the season. Alex Smith was fantastic. But it all, like, it just went away. And, like, it was Alex Smith that opened things up, it looked to me, for that running game. And as soon as either of them went away, boom. Like, for me, if I'm a defensive coordinator playing the Bears week one, which Mike Pettine is, I'm like, guys, we're going to sell out to stop the run, and we're going to make this kid at quarterback beat us because I don't think he can. And if you can get to him and shake his confidence early, stop his running game, his safety blanket, like, it could end up being a really long night for the Bears. And if that's what every team is able to do, could be a really long season for the Bears. So that's where my real concern comes in. So, like,
sure.
I don't have them winning the division. I don't have them in a wild card spot even. But, you know, if the scenario that I just painted the exact opposite happens, you know, you could see it happening. So I don't know. But I think that offense, even with their weapons, is going to be stoppable.
I think that's probably true. I think that's probably true.
Cool. Let's talk Packers then, Dusty. Why don't you go ahead and recap our offseason a little bit, and we'll gush for a little while.
I'm looking right now. Nothing happened, Brian.
Oh.
No additions, no subtractions. In fact, they opted out of the draft, which is crazy to me.
It's a bold move, Cotton. Yeah. Let's see if it pays off.
No, they had a pretty busy offseason. I mean, we know Thompson's gone. Well, still there, but not the GM anymore. Yeah. Gutekunst came in and did some work, man. So gone, out the door. The big one, the one that hurts more than any of the other ones, Jordy Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
It was time. I mean, we talked about this. We had the I'm trying to remember the game we played. If it was like cut, extend, keep, or trade, or whatever
something
the
like
was.
That. Yeah,
I think all of us basically said get rid of Jordy. Maybe one of us didn't, but
it was probably John.
I was going to say John, but I didn't want to call him out.
Yeah.
But that was my first guess. I was like, no, I won't hang him out like that. So thank you, Brian.
Anytime.
I mean, Jordy's going to hurt. His time was kind of done. I mean, he has that rapport with Rodgers, and so it'd be nice to have him back. But just the way he was looking, I still think he can be effective. He's just out of the slot, but he's very limited at this point in his career. So it hurts, but I get it. Like, that's the thing. None of these moves I'm looking at, none of these moves kill me. One of these moves kills me. Morgan Burnett out the door. That's just because the safety position looks atrocious right now.
Eric Reed is out there. Sign him.
Yeah, well, like, Reed was out there. Iloco was out there, which, you know, he signed with former D coordinator, so that wasn't going to happen.
Sense.
But, like, there have been guys out there. Kenny Vaccaro was out there for a long time. Like, guys have been out there. Guys are out there. Reed is currently out there. Burnett's going to hurt. Because the hope was, you know, that Jones, I guess, probably Jones replaced him, and Jones just isn't there. And Clinton Dix, it's tough to judge too much in the preseason. Clinton Dix looked about like he did last season. Like, he'll have some good plays. He's going to have some bad ones.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about that safety position, and Burnett really shored that up. So that's going to hurt. Quickly on the other ones, you know, Janice is gone, obviously. Richard Rodgers is gone. Jari Evans, who was there for a year, is gone. Joe Thomas, and the trade we talked about earlier, Damaris Randall, is gone.
Yep.
So, I mean, a decent amount of people gone that played fairly big roles last year.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Janice was a gunner. Richard Rodgers got some snaps. Evans was the starting guard and played well. Mm-hmm. Ahmad Brooks is gone. Joe Thomas played well. Randall was the best corner we had, and then, you know, Burnett. So, I mean, we lost a lot of production there. We did bring in some guys, though. The two big ones, again, on tight end, Jimmy Graham, Mercedes Lewis.
Yep.
God, that's so exciting. It's so exciting to be able to say those names that they're now in Green Bay. Muhammad Wilkerson, who has not looked impressive so far, but if he can be a fraction of what he was, that's a solid D-line.
Yep.
And Brian, Tremon Williams.
Yes, sir.
Tremon Williams, who had a pick six. Who had a pick six in the first snap of the Steelers game, and I got out of my seat during a preseason game for.
Welcome
so
back. Yeah.
And then, draft picks, you know, Alexander and Jackson, the two guys at corner.
Yep.
Burks, who we talked about earlier. Moore, St. Brown, and MVS, a receiver. And then, you know, a handful of other guys. J.K. Scott as the punter, drafted a punter, which was not a bad move, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, you know, aside from those additions, also Joe Philbin back.
Yes.
So a pretty big shakeup this year. Like, it's a different feel to this squad. Like, it's a lot of guys out, a lot of guys in.
Yep.
And I didn't even mention this. Philbin in. Capers is
gone.
Pettin's here. Like, Capers is
gone. I was
like,
waiting.
There's just so much has happened this offseason. Like, it's such a strange, weird offseason. So,
yes.
Brian, how do you feel going into the season about your Green Bay Packers?
I feel really good. A lot of it will obviously hinge on the health of Aaron Rodgers, but I feel like when people are predicting what's going to happen this season, they're kind of forgetting the impact that Aaron Rodgers has. Remember, we were, 5-1, 6-1, something like that before he went down?
We were 4-1. He went down that Vikings
4-1, and we were in a lot of games after that, so you have to think that we win 10, 11, maybe even 12 games if he's healthy all season, even with that defense. So I think people are kind of forgetting, or maybe not forgetting, but taking for granted what impact he's going to have. Like, that's a few wins right there. I think the new coordinators, just having a different voice on that offense to shake things up a little bit, having not Dom Capers at defensive coordinator, I think that buys you a win or two right there. And, man, I'm feeling pretty good. Let me touch – you touched on safety. I'm going to touch on the other problem area, and I'm going to have my say on it. It's the offensive line, and in particular the depth. Now – when our starting five is healthy, that's going to be a really good offensive line. Offensive lines don't stay healthy all year. That doesn't happen anywhere. And yes, we lack depth there. It came to a head against the Steelers and against the Raiders. There were a lot of complaints, you know, a lot of people trying to blame Brian Gutekunst for that. And I tweeted something about it once, but I'm going to say something again. There is a horrifying lack of offensive line talent in the NFL right now, particularly at the tackle spots. They're difficult to fill. There's not as much talent to choose from. Edge rushers, there are more good edge rushers than there ever have been before. It is an incredibly difficult position to fill. You know, I heard complaints about Kyle Murphy at right tackle. There are teams where Kyle Murphy would start at right tackle. So... while our depth is bad, like, imagine that, but being the starting offensive line, like, look at what Russell Wilson has had to play behind for the last 4 years. His offensive lines.
Gladly.
Oh, my goodness. His lines have been terrible. And the only time the Seahawks actually somewhat invested in it, they drafted a couple defensive tackles because there were no actual offensive tackles to take the spots. It's really bad. Like, there's a reason their line has stayed so bad. You know, you credit teams like the Cowboys who have just invested in it nonstop, no matter what, because I think they kind of saw this coming. You give them credit for it. You know, they have other holes on the roster, but that's not one that you could ever fault them for. I know it'll be a problem if anybody is injured. Like, if Bulaga's not there week one, we're going to give up some sacks on that right side of the line. It's going to happen. But our depth could go up against almost any other team's offensive line depth in the NFL right now. So don't blame Brian Gutekunst. Don't say they don't know how to find offensive linemen. Be happy that we have five starting caliber offensive linemen, because most teams don't. There's probably two or three other teams that have five legitimately good offensive linemen. So that's one that I wanted to touch on to say, yeah, it'll probably be a problem area, but I think they're doing everything they can. There's just not a ton that they can do. Other than that, I feel good about receiver. Tight end, I feel good about for the first time in a long time. Even last year, I felt happy about adding he who shall not be named, but I was still worried about the depth behind him. I'm not worried about the depth behind Jimmy Graham this year. I think it's going to be awesome. The running game, we need to see a lot more from the running backs, but again, the offensive line has been struggling, so I'll see what happens when we get healthy. And then the defense, I think most importantly, that front seven is going to be pretty good. They're going to be so good. Like, I worry a little bit about where the pass rush is going to come from, but if Reggie Gilbert can carry any of what he did at the end of last year and what he's done this preseason into this season, like, that's going to be a really good front seven and one I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I'm right. That edge rush, that was, I think passing on Landry in the first round, I think, is going to be a mistake. I think he's going to be really, really good. But picked up Alexander in the first round, I also think he's going to be really good. So apparently you can't have – I was going to say you can't have multiple first-round picks, but we do next
year.
We do. Which is awesome.
Unless one goes to Oakland for some reason.
Listen, if one of those goes to Oakland for some reason, I will be over the moon. Just send one of them right now. Just right now. Because that would shore up that problem
Yes, it would.
I mean, there's two obvious weaknesses on this team, and we named both of them.
Yep.
Aside from that, I mean, the only other thing that concerns me is, I'll say the, I can't remember what I was going to say.
Classic.
Oh, no, I got it. The only other thing that concerns me is the cornerbacks. I love Alexander. And I love those guys. I think they're going to be good. I also think that having two rookies in there that you're going to be counting on, they say we're going to probably ease in a little bit. And that's part of what the Williams thing is. That you sign Tremont Williams, you ease in Alexander and Jackson a little bit. You hope King is back, mm-hmm. I guess, because I think King's going to have a good year this year. But you've got a bunch of young guys there now.
Yeah.
That you just need them to be good. And I think with that front seven, I think is going to open up pass rush. So hopefully they won't have to cover for as much as they've had to do, because you'll get some push.
Yeah.
I am a big believer in Reggie Gilbert. I'm a big believer in the interior of that line collapsing things so the edge rushers are able to get a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But traditionally, and it's not always been this way, or it seems like maybe it's turned a little. Traditionally, cornerback is one of the toughest positions to come in from college, sure, and play in the NFL at a high level. It usually takes 2-3 years to get some of those guys acclimated. So to have these two rookies that we're going to be counting on in fairly big spots in this defense, that concerns me.
So,
but the way they've looked, I'm not as concerned as I probably should be. And like you said, we've got, I'll let you talk in a minute, Brian.
Sure.
You keep your mouth shut. We got Rodgers. You've got the tight ends. You've got, Adams and Cobb, probably Allison is your three. Got 3 to 4 other young wide receivers that could come in and possibly do something else, which is exciting. Fast young guys. Like, that's awesome. Yep. That's really exciting. The run game looks great. We talked about the front seven, but especially like that front three or four is going to be crazy. Yep. Like, they've got just a lot of talent on this team in so many spots that they have a couple concern areas kind of stinks, but every team's got a couple concern areas. And we see those because we're watching the Packers every day. We're like, oh man, offensive line and safety, that sucks. A lot of people would probably kill for like those two spots to be like their glaring weaknesses, and everything else looks good. So, yep. I mean, I do have my concerns, but it's hard not to look at this team and what they've done this offseason, and that's with the coordinators, through the draft, through free agency, and not get a little excited, not get excited about them. Like, we're almost to the season, man. I wish it was here already. We're almost to the season. I can't wait to see what all these guys are going to do out there. I think it's going to be a really, really exciting year.
All right, I have two more things to say before we get to our official predictions. One, that touchdown from Rodgers to Graham. I'm going to tell you why I am unbelievably excited about that. Rodgers overthrew that ball by like 2 feet. That was not really a catchable ball, but Jimmy Graham caught it like it was nothing. And Rodgers has never, I repeat, never had a receiver or tight end where he could misthrow a ball like that and it's still a touchdown. Like, this is really exciting. This is what we've been begging for years, because like almost every other quarterback has had at least one receiver or something. Like the year that Brady had Randy Moss, Brady could throw the ball anywhere and Moss was going to go get it. And it was the perfect situation. Like, that's, I'm not saying Rodgers is going to go throw 55 touchdowns this year like Brady did that year, but he's got that outlet, that guy now, where he can throw an otherwise uncatchable ball. So a ball like, I don't know, maybe it wasn't even a mistake that he threw it that high. It probably wasn't, because he's Aaron Rodgers, but he can throw a ball.
I assumed he was testing him out. I think he was testing him out.
Probably. But he's never been able to throw a ball 2 feet too high for any defender to get a hand to and have somebody go up and catch it. So this is exciting. The other thing I'm going to say is, in response to your concern for the rookie cornerbacks, here's why I'm not overly concerned. It is a concern for me, but I'm not overly concerned. And it's because as long as everyone's healthy, we don't have to rely on both of them every down. Like, look at when we drafted Randall and Rollins. Like, they got thrust into being the number one and number two pretty quickly. And in the long run, we really suffered because of that. We have a situation where, you know, King can be your number one and Williams can be your number two, and you can have Alexander in there for this snap and you can have Jackson in there for that snap, and you can kind of, you know, you're relying in a big spot, you're probably relying on one of them, not two of them. So the big spots, you might always be relying on one of them, but unless somebody else is hurt, you're not relying on two at the same time. So that I think is going to be big for them. That's going to take a lot of pressure off of them. Like, just the competition between the two of them, I think, is going to take pressure off of them. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a much improved crop of cornerbacks, at least. And, you know, if HaHa Clinton Dix kind of gets his head out of his ass, I think we're going to have a pretty damn good secondary.
Fingers crossed.
I was expecting
one thing. I want to say one more thing because you brought up Graham touchdown, which was crazy. Yeah. Adams was open on the other side because Adams is open on the other side. Like Adams through the past, especially last year, and I think even the previous year, was like a top five red zone receiver. Not just in touchdowns, just like what he did down there. Just looking at, you know, every play, grading him top five. He may have been number one. I think he's top five. Rodgers is unquestionably the number one. Anywhere you look, number one red zone passer basically since he's been in the league. You now have Devontae Adams, top five red zone threat. Jimmy Graham, an insane red zone threat. Randall Cobb, maybe some young guy. Maybe you got Lewis in there. You've got Jones or Montgomery or Williams out of the backfield. Yep. You've got just an array of pass catchers. Like you can't double Graham without leaving Adams one-on-one and vice versa. Right. And either way, you're sneaking at least one or two other guys out of there that are like you put you imagine like you run Adams on a post, you got Graham on the other side running like a fade or an out or something like that, and then out the right side you're just sneaking like Aaron Jones in space that's kind of cleared out. Like there's what they could do with this offense, especially in the red zone, is just I've been giddy about it. Like since the Graham signing, I've just been giddy about what they've been able to do in the red zone with it. I'm so excited.
Yep. All right, Dusty, we've broken down all the off seasons at painstaking length. So now I want to hear, what order do you have them? 1 through 4, how do you have everybody finishing in this division?
I've got my 1, 2 were fairly easy, and then 3, 4 were a little hard. I've got Green Bay 1, Minnesota 2, and I think, like, by a hair, I'm going to read some stats off here in a second, but I think Green Bay by a hair. I think it's Stafford. I think I'm just not high in them. I should like Detroit better. I kind of, for some reason, think Chicago is going to be a tougher team this year. So I'm going to go Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago, and Detroit. I think Detroit finishes last.
That's legit.
So I'm looking at Green Bay and Minnesota, the Football Outsiders DVOA projections. Projected wins, Green Bay 9.3, Minnesota 9.2. Percent make the playoffs, Green Bay 55.1, Minnesota 53. Reach the Super Bowl, Green Bay 10.9%, Minnesota 10.1%. Win the Super Bowl, Green Bay 5.6%. Minnesota 5.2%. Wherever you look, these teams are close. Now, the one thing I will say, and this could be because I'm really, really close to it, because we're all really close to it, you look at their offensive projections. Green Bay is looking like that they're projected to have the number 4 offense in the league this year, which I could see by their DVOA.
Sure.
Minnesota's at their 7. Minnesota's defense is projected to be the second best this year, which I could see. That makes sense. I mean, we talked about them at length.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay is right now projected to have the 17th best defense in the league this year. They've got them beating out Minnesota by a hair with the 17th best defense. With the talent they have, like, I don't think top 10 is out of the question. Like, I think this defense is better than a lot of people are currently giving credit for. And I've seen this a lot of different – it's not Football Outsiders. I think a lot of people have kind of done this. And I think it's not accounting for what the front 7 looks like. It's not accounting for – Pettin, it's not accounting for what Clark did last year and what I think he's going to do this year. Like, I think, and maybe we're too close to it, maybe I'm too optimistic, 17 seems low.
Does seem a little
bit. So if you give Green Bay with Rodgers a top 10, top 12 defense, they're the clear cut number one. Wouldn't you say? I mean, you're going to tell me in a second. You're getting ready to give me your rankings, but that's kind of where I'm falling.
Yeah, I kind of feel that just on plain talent and plain, you know, not knowing exactly how Mike Pettin's going to do in Green Bay, I would say on the surface, 17th seems fair. But when you're pairing it with the number 4 offense, let's just say that happens, that's going to make the job of that defense a lot easier. So I'm looking somewhere between 13 and 15 is a range I think would be really happy with. And if our defense falls into that range, then like I think it could, I think the Packers definitely have an edge here. And I'm just going to throw back to what I was just saying, was we get wins just by having Aaron Rodgers back. I think we add a couple wins just by replacing the coordinators. I think our game preparation is going to be a whole lot better. Something as trivial as punting, I think, is going to be better. And the fact that we drafted a long snapper, which people scoffed at, but you know, that was a problem for us last year, going through multiple long snappers. And, you know, that made kicks difficult. That made punts difficult. You know, these two rookies are just like, okay, guys, like, you're going to be joined at the hip now, because for the next 10 years, you are a long snapper, punter, holder combo here. So little things like that, I think, have improved. The bottom of the roster being filled with, you know, random veterans being brought in, you know, like Antonio Morrison. You know, Bell hasn't played particularly well in the offensive line, but him instead of some undrafted rookie, I think that's a big difference. I think the way he, the way Gutekunst has filled out this roster, I think will make a difference this year. So I do have the Packers first as well. I have the Vikings second. I think it's going to be like a 12-4, 11-5 kind of thing, or maybe both 11-5, but we have a tiebreaker. Like, I think it's going to be painfully close to where week 17, we're all going to be sitting on the edge of our seats. But I think we
It's coming down to the end.
It is.
That seems like that's coming down to the
barring end. Some major injuries on one side or the other, this is going to be a really, really tight division to watch. I'm higher on Stafford and the Lions than you are. I have them third, probably finishing like 9-7, something like that. And then I have the Bears at 7-9, maybe 8-8 if everything goes right. I don't see them being bottom dwellers, getting a top five pick or anything like that, but I just don't see them being there this year. So we're pretty close. I swapped the bottom of the division from what you have, but we agree. I think the Packers are going to win this division as long as Aaron Rodgers stays healthy.
Fingers crossed, man. Fingers crossed.
Cool. Dusty, this was fun.
Oh, wait, we didn't get to, I assume, like me, you've got Green Bay division, and then Minnesota wins the wild card, right?
Yes.
They're both in the playoffs.
Even if I'm wrong about the order of it, both of those teams are going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I feel very strongly there.
Right there with you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Dusty, any final thoughts before we sign off?
Yeah, dude, I got two. I said before the season I was going to like limit myself to only one, but the season hasn't started yet, so it's still party time. So for my first one, I've been doing that Pack-A-Day podcast that Andy Herman started as well. I've been doing that like pretty much every other week, and that's been tremendous so far. I've got to talk to Ben Fennell from over at NFL.
That's pretty awesome.
And Justice Mosqueda from – I guess he's from everywhere, I guess, Bleacher Report Quantum Edge, I think, is where he is now, but he's kind of been everywhere. Like I've loved those two guys for forever.
Yeah.
So getting to talk to them has been amazing. But that's been a lot of fun. It's short. I can knock out me and Andy. We usually knock one out in 20-30 minutes, and I'm done. So it's a short one, like every other week. Nice. But it's been kind of awesome so far. That's Andy's brainchild, and we had Andy on here for our draft preview.
Yep.
And Andy's amazing.
Yes.
Like, Andy's just tremendous person, great football mind, like awesome
stuff
to talk to. So he really, really does. So yeah, kind of getting a chance to talk football with Andy every week or every other week has been awesome so far. That's been a ton of fun.
Nice.
I'm not going anywhere here. You know, just let everyone know.
I would never allow
anyone who's wondering. Yeah, Brian actually has a gun held to my head. We're in the same room. You can't see us.
Yeah.
He flew out here. But yeah, I'm here for as long as they will have me. I love Back to the Future. Getting another outlet to talk about football, never a bad thing. It's been an awesome, awesome thing. So big thanks to Andy. Big thanks to Pack-A-Day. That's been amazing.
Yes, yes.
My other one, listen, man, I was going to say it was getting cooler. It's not. It was 90 degrees today. But last week it was in the 70s.
Oh,
man,
that was so nice.
You had breeze.
The same here.
It was chilly. Oh, it was so nice. I went to buy some beer, and the pumpkin stuff was out and the Oktoberfest stuff was out.
Ooh.
And I could feel it. I could feel spooky season creeping up, Brian. I'm really excited. I got back in the mood. It's been a while since I watched a horror movie. I started watching Hereditary, and then something, and I got interrupted, so I didn't get a chance to finish it. But 2 weeks before that, I did watch Hell House LLC.
Okay.
Which was kind of awesome. It's one that I kind of heard about, hadn't really heard much about. I just knew the name of it. It's a found footage movie, basically these people setting up a haunted house, like kind of a realistic haunted house, and they go and they live there for a couple weeks ahead of time. And they're getting everything set up, and wouldn't you know it, Brian? Hijinks ensue.
Oh man,
things go awry. bad things happen. There's some laughs, some tears. It's the found footage genre for me has always been kind of one that's been hit or miss. Like, if it's done well, it's amazing. Right. Like, it really can kind of put you into it and just really make you feel like you're part of it and you're in there. And some of it, you're just like, well, why don't you just turn the camera off and run? Right? And, or it's just a dumb story. There's a movie called Apollo 18 that's just a garbage movie. It's like 70 minutes, and it was a solid 50 minutes too long. But Hell House LLC was cool. Like, it was – that's another thing with found footage. I found a lot of them, like, you just hate all the characters. Hell House was cool. Like, I liked pretty much all the characters. Even the ones I didn't love, like, you still kind of get their motivation. I still kind of understand. I don't know that it was an amazing movie, but I was just in the right mood for it. Again, kind of spooky season. It's kind of like haunted houses, if you know anything about me, like, kind of, you know, haunted houses and Halloween, going in, getting scared. One of my biggest fears, not because of what's in there, but just for the sake that there could be, like, a killer hiding in there, and everyone's like, oh, it's part of the show, and then, like, you're dead. And everyone just thinks it's actually part of the haunted house. So it's kind of one of my fears anyway. So I don't know. I thought it was well done. I really dug it. It's fairly low budget. It's on Amazon Prime right now. Oh, but nice. Yeah, that's me coming into spooky season. House LLC. Worth a watch. You can find me on Twitter at Dusty Evely. Lots of football gifts. And then as we get into it, a lot of my more All 22 stuff will be over at All 22 Talk. But yeah, follow me over there, I guess.
Awesome. Dusty, so you're our official authority on all things spooky and horror and all that stuff. My wife and I love Halloween. We decorate our house for it. My question, real quick question to you, is how early can we decorate for Halloween? Like, at what point is it like you're good to go?
I mean, listen, I almost want to say as soon as it hits 60 degrees, like your first 60 degree day, like you're good. If it's 66, you're good. You go. Realistically, I think, I don't know. Can you get a full month out of it? Like end of September? You can start putting out little stuff, right? Yeah. Start putting out little stuff like as it seeps into September.
Okay.
Just go a little bit. You put a pumpkin because it's starting to get a little fall. You start with the fall stuff.
Okay.
And then you kind of start going spookier as you go along.
So the window decorations, we wait until end of September.
Anything with skeletons, I would say wait until it hits October.
Okay.
Is what I would think. Like anything like full on, like creepy, spooky, wait until October. But before then, like you prime the pump with just kind of fall spookiness without going like full on, like, hey, here's a ghost in your face, stuff like that. That seems October-ish to
me. Cool. Well, my final thoughts, of which I have a couple. One, I'm all excited because I, for the last week and a half, have been the proud parent of a second cat. So that's legit. speaking of spooky, this is a black cat. So.
Ooh.
It's pretty awesome. She's got some white tufts.
She's already started for Halloween. Okay. It still counts.
Yeah, my wife volunteers actually at an animal shelter, and she has been told by several people looking to adopt a cat that they wouldn't adopt a black cat because they're superstitious about it. So she's always wanted to adopt one. So we've got one.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Other cool news. I'm open to suggestions here. Hopefully later this week, I'll be buying a new car. Ooh. Used but new to me. If you have suggestions, we're looking for like a small mid-sized SUV kind of thing, like a Chevy Equinox, Nissan Rogue. So if anyone out there is a car expert and you have an opinion to share or a recommendation to give, throw it my way. Just have them in by like Friday. I think we'll be doing some weekend shopping. Unfortunately, Colorado is another state where you can't go car shopping on Sundays. I think that's a really weird law, but whatever. So hopefully Friday or Saturday we'll find something.
Nice.
Fingers crossed. But yeah, dude, season's starting. Next week we're going to have our first like official season podcast, man. This is going to be awesome. Hopefully all four of us will be there. We'll be talking, as always, to Brian Aviles about the Bears. He's always our go-to guy. So tune in next week for that. And again, hopefully all four of us will be here. Lot of good stuff going to be coming out of Pack to the Future this year. We're ramping up our film study, a lot more like news reporting and featured stories and all that kind of stuff, man. We've got some really good writers signed up for this year. So make sure you're checking out packtothefuture.com all season long. It's going to be a really good year there. So please.
Oh yeah. And shout out Ben Club too.
Ben Club. I will shout out Ben Club.
Because Ben's been killing it this off season with film stuff.
He's done so much film stuff. Look, I have to really, really shout out Ben Club. That man loves this site and he is so committed to it, man. He legitimately left his high school assistant coaching football gig because he wanted to do more at Pack to the Future. And I cannot tell you, as the person that created this podcast and site, I cannot tell you what that means to me, that there is somebody that committed to what I've created. Like, it's serious. It's a seriously
amazing
thing.
It's amazing.
So major shout out to Ben Club. He's going to be doing a lot this year. He's going to be doing film study. He's also going to be doing player grades every week. So, you know, you can call us Pro Football Talk at packtothefuture.com or something like that. But he, like, same vein, just a different grading system, and he's just going to be doing Packers. Lot of good stuff going to be coming from him this year, so make sure you check him out. Let's see. His Twitter handles. I don't know if I can remember.
PTTF underscore Chalk Talk.
Yep, that's right. One of them. And then he's at BenClub32 as well. So follow both of those. He's got great football content on either one. He's also just a really cool guy. He's really nice, so check him out.
He is.
I guess while you're at it, you should also be following Pack to the Future at PTTF underscore podcast and me at PTTF underscore Brian, because sometimes I can be pretty cool too. Not very often, but like every once in a while I have a tweet that you're like, oh, that's why I follow him. And then you ask yourself the same thing like 3 months later.
It's been a while since I've seen that, but it's happened. It has happened on occasion.
It does happen. It does. Cool. Well, man, this has been another awesome edition of Pack to the Future. Dusty, it was great to be back talking to you, man.
Yeah, welcome back, dude. I gave you a hard time at the beginning, but we're happy to have you back. Feels like the season's starting, Brian. You're back. You're back. You're talking Packers.
Here it comes, man.
And everything feels right in the world.
Man, any lack of excitement I had for the season, not that there was any, but any of it is officially gone after all this talk, man. I'm ready. Here we go. Let's do this. We are Pack to the Future, to quote John Jameson. Let's go.